Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, May 8, 2019. Dozens of lawyers are preparing to sue the governments of Kenya and South Sudan over the disappearance and killing of Dong Samuel Luak and Agri Isbon Idri.
There's no way that the two states, South Sudan and Kenya, could deny that this individual were not in Kenya, and Dong was a registered refugee in Kenya and is protected by the Geneva Convention on the Law of Refugees 1951. Agri Idri was also in Kenya.
And Ugandan authorities have seized consignment of fake drugs destined to Juba.
We have clues that our drugs are going to Congo, and our drugs are going to Burundi, and some of our drugs are going to South Sudan. We know, and we have caught people, and some are testifying.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Around 40 lawyers are preparing to petition the governments of Kenya and South Sudan at the East African Court of Justice in Arusha, Tanzania, over the killings of Dong Samuel Luak and Agri Isbon Idri. Wani Santino Jada is one of the legal experts. He says Kenya and South Sudan are responsible for the disappearance of Luak and Idri. Jada says the East African Charter requires Kenya to protect Agri and Dong from deportation or forceful abductions.
The government of South Sudan and the government of Kenya will be directly liable for netting these two individuals, Agri and Dong. So at the moment, we have not got instructions from the family of the two victims. But in case they request us to file some reference in regard to their assassination, and then we can be in position to file this reference or the so-called petition at the East African Court of Justice in Arusha, Tanzania.
The last time you had filed a petition against the government of South Sudan, you won the case. It was about appointing MPs for the East African Legislative Assembly, and you said, no, they should not be appointed. They should be elected by their party members. And you won the case. This time around, this is a very complicated case where Kenya and South Sudan are both denying that they are not responsible for the killing of these two individuals. How would you proceed with this case in case the families ask you to put a petition?
There's no way that the two states of the East African communities, South Sudan and Kenya, could deny that this individual were not in Kenya, and Dong was a registered refugee in Kenya and is protected by the Geneva Convention on the Law of Refugees 1951. And Agri Idri was also in Kenya. Kenya is under duty to protect anyone who is based in Kenya. And in addition to that, Kenya is a member state of the East African community, and the treaty establishing the East African community, Article 6, Clause D, and Article 7, Clause 2, it is said that a partner state undertakes to abide by the principles of good governance, including adherence to the principle of democracy, the rule of law, social justice, and the maintenance of the universally accepted standards of human rights. Now, the question is whether the government of Kenya is abiding by rule of law. The question is whether the government of Kenya is abiding by the standards of human rights that is accepted universally. The deportation of Dong and Agri Idri has violated the regional and international laws of the African Union or of the African Charter, and then the Universal Declaration of Human Rights 1948. So there's no way that the government of Kenya will reject or deny that these people have been in Kenya. The fact that we saw the two individuals at the National Security House, the so-called Blue House, the government of South Sudan has bases. I saw some report by Michael McQuay, who was denying that these people were not in South Sudan and were in Kenya. That's actually bogus.
You are explaining the legal framework on which you can hold these governments accountable for the disappearance of these two people. This case seemed to be having some political turn in it, and some analysts are saying it involves a lot of heavyweights, political heavyweights. How would you proceed with this?
I don't think that there's no need to be afraid. Lawyers should not be scared to fight for the rights of their own citizens. Lawyers should only fear one person, and that is God. There's no one above the law, including the president. Is not above the law, is subject to the law. So there's no need to be afraid totally. If lawyers are getting afraid, then the government will continue to violate the rights of their own citizens.
Amnesty International had hired a lawyer in Kenya to pursue this case, and it appears like the case just died a natural death and nothing moved forward. If you are going to take up this case at the East African Court, how would you proceed? Because this case died in Kenya.
Well, Kenya is a member state of the East African Community, and being a member of the East African Community, they are subject to the laws regulating the community. So the Kenyan government has no ways of rejecting that they are not liable. So Dong was a registered refugee in Kenya. Agri was also based in Kenya. And being a citizen of the East African Community, Kenya is under a duty to protect the citizens of the community.
That's Wani Santino Jada, a South Sudanese lawyer who wants to petition the governments of Kenya and South Sudan over the disappearance and killings of Dong Samuel Luak and Agri Isborn Idri. Jada was speaking with me from an undisclosed location in East Africa earlier today. President Salva Kiir says the six-month extension of the pre-transitional period is not enough to assemble, canton, train and unify the various forces before November 12, the new deadline for forming the transitional government of national unity. Addressing a gathering at the Immigration Department this week, President Kiir accused Riek Machar's SPLM-IO of recruiting new fighters. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Speaking at an event launching a civil registry at the Department of Nationality, Passports and Immigration in Juba today, President Kiir said he doubts the parties will implement all of the peace deal security arrangements within the next 6 months.
If we cannot do them in the last 8 months, I'll probably ajade enja has a deficit assured, but you know.
The parties were supposed to form a transitional government of national unity by May 12, but since security arrangements and other critical activities were not completed, the parties agreed while meeting in Addis Ababa last week to extend the pre-transitional period for another 6 months. Speaking in Arabic, Mr. Kiir says even with the extension, there is logistical challenges which will not allow the parties to complete the required security arrangements by the November deadline.
I told my team which went from here that instead of 6 months, let us call for 1 year, because from May up to November there will be rain still and you cannot move with the car to any location. But if it's 1 year, the remaining 6 months will get us in the new year. And these things can be done during that period, and then we can form the government by April or May.
Following the IGAD-sponsored meeting in Ethiopia, the Kiir administration pledged $100 million to help fund the implementation of the deal. The president says the government agreed to the opposition's request because it does not want to return to a civil war.
So we
will delay forming the government as per the request of Dr. Riek Machar. And we will wait not because we are going back to war. We don't want war. But we want that time to come.
At the same time, Kiir used the occasion to accuse rebel leader Riek Machar of continuing to recruit opposition forces, a violation of the peace agreement.
He is now recruiting.
He is now recruiting, and this recruitment is prohibited in the agreement. If it's a matter of recruiting, it does not cost me much to also recruit. He thinks that he wants to recruit so that when he comes to Juba, he comes with a lot of forces to push all of us out.
But Henry Odua, the SPLM-IO deputy chairman, denies Kiir's accusation.
The SPLM-IO is not recruiting, and we are observing the agreement in its strict form, in letter and spirit. What is happening is that we have what we call assembly areas. This is in accordance with the agreement. And then the movement of troops from assembly areas into cantonments is what probably Kiir's intelligence is telling him.
President Kiir says delaying the formation of the government will extend his stay in power because there will be no election to allow for a peaceful transition of power. Lars Anderson, the Norwegian ambassador to South Sudan, said yesterday the Troika hold the view that the delay in forming the unity government should not affect the democratic elections scheduled for March 2022. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Regional Bloc Intergovernmental Authority on Development, also known as IGAD, is urging the parties to the revitalized peace agreement to implement the remaining tasks without delays, so that the new government can be formed by November. The IGAD Council of Ministers concluded a two-day meeting in Juba yesterday, as we hear from Winnie Chirino.
IGAD Special Envoy to South Sudan, Ismail Wise, says the six-month extension of the pre-transitional period will enable the parties to complete critical transitional security arrangements and give the Independent Boundaries Commission extra time to work out the number and boundaries of states. Speaking at the start of Council of Ministers meeting yesterday, Wise called on IGAD member countries to authorize him to meet with groups that did not sign the peace deal.
Curtail on the non-signatory armed groups to join the implementation of the RRCS. Authorize my office to hold one more round of engagement with General Thomas Cirilo Sawak on a determined timeline.
Wise says the SPLM-IO registered concerns about the constitutional amendment process as proposed by the National Constitutional Amendment Committee and the Joint Monitoring Evaluation Commission and urged the Council of Ministers to look into those concerns.
Make a final decision on the status of the SPLM-IO Commander-in-Chief and Chairperson Dr. Riak Machar Teni. Consider and decide on the reservations registered by the SPLM-IO on the description of the system of governance under the RRCS in the pre-transitional and the transitional period, and on the procedures for the amendment of the transitional constitution and other relevant laws during the pre-transitional period.
Augustino Njoroge, the interim head of the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, which monitors implementation of the deal, says out of 59 tasks that were supposed to be implemented during the pre-transitional period, less than half were completed. Njoroge says the parties must directly address the challenges facing the implementation of the pre-transitional activities.
Our focus should now fall squarely on the leadership of the parties to demonstrate clear political will and commitment to make sure that the security-related institutions and mechanisms of the agreement deliver. As resolved by the parties, the most critical determinant for the formation of RTIGNU is the unification of forces.
Lars Anderson, the Norwegian ambassador to South Sudan, is urging the parties to use the extra 6 months wisely and work together in a spirit of compromise to solve critical issues like security reform and the number of states.
Security sector reform is obviously essential to building sustainable peace, but agreement on measures taken during the next six months must be both realistic, considering the time frame and funds available, and improve security for the people of South Sudan. Further delay could be detrimental to the peace process, and the Troika continue to hold the view that delays should not affect the scheduled democratic elections in March 2022.
European Union representative Francis Collin praised the Kiir administration for donating more $100 million to implement the deal, but urged the committee overseeing the implementation of activities to be transparent how it uses the money.
The criteria for management and disbursement of this money is vital. We therefore assume that the funds will be deposited in an account that is available for information and review by the citizens of South Sudan.
The parties are to assemble, canton, train and unify the forces within the next 6 months. They're also supposed to reconstitute the Disarmament, Demobilization and Reintegration Commission and agree on the number of states and boundaries. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Ugandan authorities crack down on fake drugs headed to South Sudan. We'll have more on that after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what or who inspires you?
My inspiration is this great African American who is called Martin Luther. This guy has inspired me so very much. You know, when I was in my secondary level, I happened to listen to his speeches.
My auntie, she really inspires me with the way she handles things, manages her home, her business. It really helps me and boosts my energy to go on and move on in my career and my family as well.
What inspires me is the positivity or optimism. I'm a very positive person. I believe anything you put yourself to do can be done with the right attitude.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Ugandan authorities have seized fake and expired drugs destined to neighboring countries, including South Sudan. The head of Uganda's National Drug Authority says the Ugandan Health Ministry, National Drug Authority officials and security officers embarked on a two-month sting operation to eliminate expired and fake drugs that can be harmful to human health. Mungume Debs Rwakarinj has the story for VOA from the Ugandan capital, Kampala.
Ugandan Health Minister Ruth Achieng says during the operation, health officials and security operatives seized drugs and other pharmaceutical items worth millions of Uganda shillings.
We intercepted three trailers with 716 boxes of assorted medicines suspected to be unauthorized medicines or medicines labeled Government of Uganda, not for sale, intended to be exported to the neighboring countries. One trailer was intercepted at Clock Tower and had 466 boxes of assorted medicine with no authorization for export by the National Drug Authority.
Dr. Meda Debite Cherezo, who heads Uganda's National Drug Authority, a body that regulates imports and exports of medicines moving in and out of Uganda, confirms that some of the drugs were destined to South Sudan.
In any countries that have some small civil wars and where, that's where people normally just steal our drugs and they take them there. And I can tell you, we have clues that our drugs are going to Congo and our drugs are going to Burundi and some of our drugs are going to South Sudan. We know, and we have caught people, and some are testifying.
South Sudan is the main importer of Ugandan goods. Many South Sudanese imports also pass through Uganda. Bethesda says some of the people arrested were found with adulterated drugs in Kampala. He says a Chinese national named Li Huang pleaded guilty and was deported back to China after paying a fine that amounted to only $260. The drugs included antimalarials such as quinine and other antibiotics.
He has got chemicals that rub off the expiry dates and manufacturing dates from the boxes where the drugs are packed. He has got the chemical for writing, he has got the chemical for rubbing, and he has got the machine, he has got a template of the names and numbers that he uses to put back the new labels which he has. Strangely, we found him with a template where he had actually manufactured the expiry dates of 2020 and the expires were 2022.
Bitechezo says some of the fake and expired drugs being exported from Uganda to neighboring countries like South Sudan could be dangerous to human health.
Some of them are not good drugs, and some of the drugs actually, they are expired drugs, and like the Chinese we quote, he has been changing the labels of these drugs. So people are taking toxic substances instead of taking good drugs.
Bitechezo says we work with his counterparts from South Sudan and other neighboring countries to curb the sale of fake and expired medicines in the region. For VOA News, Aya Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji, Kampala, Uganda.
Still on health matters, South Sudan has one of the lowest levels of access to health care in the world due to lack of resources in many parts of the country. Despite these challenges, doctors in Awil are finding new ways to treat their patients. Ayendeng Bior has more for VOA from Washington.
For doctors in the pediatric ward in Awil, saving babies means working in a hospital with limited resources. Dr. Malwal Sabino Agwen, the medical activity manager for Doctors Without Borders in Awil State Hospital, says the hospital is able to provide life-saving care to prevent general causes of pediatric mortality, but doctors still often have to refer parents to neighboring countries when a baby needs specialized surgery.
We have basic laboratory services to diagnose the common illnesses, and we have also limited access to radiology. And also for treatment options, we provide life-saving treatment for common diseases, but we cannot treat all diseases, we cannot cure any disease, and there are other conditions that we cannot treat in our hospital, like heart diseases, for example, like kidney diseases.
Awil State Hospital is a huge regional and referral hospital in northern Bahr el Ghazal that provides health care to people across the region. MSF is joined by other international agencies that provide health care to South Sudan, where only one out of three people have access to health care. The World Health Organization is working with the country's Ministry of Health to develop standard treatment guidelines to assist healthcare workers in the country. Dr. Sabino, who oversees MSF's medical work in the maternity and pediatric wards, says preventing neonatal mortality is an important part of his work, and determining common causes helps his team prevent infant deaths.
Also, neonates are prone to complications of labor. For mothers who have difficult labor, this will affect the neonate, and we have what is called birth asphyxia, also is the cause of mortality in the newborn ward.
For the first time, Dr. Sabino says the hospital will partner with the Salam Center for Cardiac Surgery to refer patients who have heart disease and are in need of surgery. A team of general doctors, a pediatrician, and an obstetrician work to serve patients, but as Sabino notes, the doctors as well as the patients face huge obstacles.
As you know, in South Sudan, it's difficult for people living in distant villages or in distant places. They find it really difficult to timely get access to health care. So sometimes they have to travel long distances before reaching the nearest health facility. And by the time they arrive, sometimes it's really too late to help them. And in the hospital also, we have limited resources.
MSF is treating tens of thousands of people across South Sudan. The agency says their humanitarian response plan in parts of the country has been disrupted over the past 5 years due to the conflict. Ayen Dengbior, VOA News, Washington.
Authorities in Buma State this week returned 10 children to officials in the Jonglei State capital, Bor. These children were abducted over the past 9 years. Dengai Deng has this report for VOA from Bor Town.
13-year-old Yom Mangar and her 10-year-old sister Lo Mangar were abducted by armed men in Bor Town, Thonobor suburb in August 2013. Yom says on the day she and her sister were abducted, armed men broke into their house at night, shot and killed their father Mangar Mayen and beat up their mother Mary Nyanghongbul until she was unconscious. Speaking in the Murile language, Yom says she never believed she would see her mother again.
I am happy now I am with my mother. Our situation in Pibor was not good. No schooling. No good food, always depending on meat and cow's milk. We were sometimes beaten if we refused to grind sorghum grain or go to the forest to cut grass. Now I have met my mother and I am so happy.
Speaking in Murile language, Yom's younger sister, Lo, says she too was thrilled to be reunited with her mother.
I am happy because I can see my mother. She was always on my mind. We used to eat meat, and I used to ask myself how I will really see my mother. But I had no answer. Now I am happy my mother is here with me. I don't want to go back again.
Speaking in Dinka, the girl's mother, 36-year-old Mary Nyanghongbul, says she could not contain her joy when she laid eyes on her children again.
I am so excited that sometimes I lose control of myself. I thank God, David Yao Yao and the government of South Sudan for bringing my children back to me. My prayers for them was like, God, keep them alive, even if they were married to Murule people. Keep them alive for me until I see them.
The three boys and seven girls were handed over on Monday to Jonglei Governor Philip Aguer. They were recovered in different parts of Boma State. Boma State Deputy Governor John Joseph Abula says some of the children were abducted as far back as 2010.
I'm so glad to hand over the 10 children have been recovered by Boma State government to Jonglei State authorities and BIA. I would like to hand over 4 children of Boma State to His Excellency Governor Philip Aguer, and then the 6 children of BIA State to BIA State coordinator.
Abula urged Jonglei State authorities to find the rightful parents of all 10 children while taking good care of them. Jonglei Governor Aguirre praised Boma State authorities for fighting child abduction.
We just received 10 children that were recovered by the Boma State. We appreciate the government of Boma, and we appreciate His Excellency David Yao Yao on this great humanitarian effort.
Aguirre says 6 out of the children were abducted in areas of BIA State.
4 of these children comes from Jonglei State, 6 from BIA State, and they were ambushed between Lankan and Akobo. They will be handed over to the authorities concerned so that the reunification of the children with their family is effected.
Aguirre says Jonglei State official will identify and reunite the other children with their parents, just as they did for Yom and Low. Boma State official used the events to help Jonglei authorities to trace and return children who were abducted by Jonglei youth in 2017 during a revenge attack in Pibor. The other children are living in the Jonglei governor's home until they are reunited with their parents. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng reporting from Bor.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Fiso Talaga by C.J. Oman.
Fiso Talaga Uda Baba Fiso Talaga Uda Baba. Ana indile kungisa, kede wedila na fursa. Ana indile kungisa, kede wedila na fursa. Finyar kukani ismu junu, uwele duo fiza manzuruf. Fijana tani ismu junu, uwele duo fiza manhurup. Abutomu tumakawaja, umatomu tumajalaba. Unyar kukde azuraba, azu school, azu medresa. Italayan, azu mustesfa, azu jamewo, azu kenisa. Mofruit, iraba uhu.
We have been listening to C.J. Oman with the song Fiso Talaga. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Bika bika tulu, demana tushunu ya kwani.
Adam and Samia.